Popoff makes you think.
I can't believe you just said that.
Popoff links to lifestyle.
If you're happy, you'll be successful, you'll have the right relationships, and you'll make choices that are healthier for you.
Popoff makes you smile.
He said, I don't want you pulling his tail or riding him or sitting on him. He said, and if you do that, he said, I will give you a Lassie puppy next year.
Are you serious? Did you get one?
Oh, yes, I did.
Now it's time to Pop Off with Mary Jane Pop.
And it is that time again. Hi, Mary Jane Pop here. Welcome to the Friday edition of Pop Off. That's the day we always have some fun. We give you some movie reviews and Hollywood gossip and a little something for everybody. Let's put it that way. In addition to finding out from Susan Chomsky what the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi was all about. It's so funny. You'll hear it later because I did the interview yesterday, but I want to play it today. The Maharishi I interviewed, and he was like the big guru to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the Beach Boys and all that kind of stuff. And I remember I interviewed him many, many, many moons ago. And I wasn't impressed. I thought, just somebody else, trying to build a culty type thing. But you know what? He was incredible. But I got the behind the scenes story about this man, who he was, what he was all about, why he had the influence, all that's going to be coming up a little bit later on the show. He was the Beatles guru back in the 1960s. He had lots of other devotees, too, celebrity types. What about the Beach Boys and Rolling Stones, Mia Farrow, Clint Eastwood, to mention just a few. Well, who was this guru? Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And Susan Chomsky worked with the Maharishi for like over 22 years and has lots of insight into this man who influenced so many. And she tells all in her book called Maharishi and Me. Now, Susan has been featured in the LA Times, Fox News. I could go on and on, but I want to spend some time with her. Nice to have you with us, Susan.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to be here with you today.
You know, it's so funny that we get to talk about this because this was years and years and years ago when I had my first television show. And I interviewed the Maharishi. And
oh, my goodness.
Yeah. This was back in Indiana when I first started out doing talk shows. It was just incredible. And he was charismatic. You agree on that, right?
Absolutely.
What was it about him that drew people to him to listen to his every word?
Yeah, he was to the point of hypnotic, his charisma. He exuded this energy that was so powerful. And you just felt like you were being caressed with divine love when you were sitting in his presence. And also you felt you were in a timeless, spaceless place when you were around him.
Uh-huh.
It was as if everything else disappeared and there was only this time and this space. He was so powerful and had this incredible love vibration that just emanated from him that you received by osmosis.
Well, okay, I'm not going to disagree with you, but I remember we talked about the transcendental meditation and all that kind of thing, and I guess maybe I was young, but I went, it's like I looked at him and I go, yeah, right, we had a great conversation, but I got to be honest with you, I went, yeah, right, but that was just me. I've always been a person questioning instead of just obviously accepting
sure.
blindly, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely, yeah.
So was he the same person in public and drawing all these people into him as he was when he wasn't in public?
As a matter of fact, he was. The things I just described to you were more pronounced when you were alone with him or in a very small group with him. So, yeah, he was the same no matter where he was. And amazingly, even when the press was very harsh on him and insulted him, he still remained calm and just smiled or giggled, you know. He just wasn't affected by all of these harsh statements. I mean, back then, very different than it is now.
Sure.
Everybody accepts meditation now. Mm-hmm. They don't look at it with skepticism anymore. This is, you know, 50 years later. But when Maharishi was popular, and he became very, very famous at the time, but certainly there was a lot of skepticism and many people who accused him and were very harsh with him.
But I gotta be totally frank with you. I don't mind the idea of the meditation. I don't mind the idea of, you know, sharing one's life with another person. But, you know, he was a controlling person, or wanted to be a controlling person. Would you not agree?
Definitely. I experienced that he was a very controlling person, not so much at first, when I first met him, which was 1967, and then I went to India and spent time with him in 1969 to 1970. But later, 20 years after that, in the 1980s, he seemed to become more and more controlling. His organization was very heavy-handed, and it was more cultish-like. Let's just put it that way. There was a lot of control going on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not like cult. It was a cult, to be honest. You know, totally frank, it just was. Now, you said, though, that he also was cruel. In what ways?
Well, his cruelty, yes. He was cruel in the sense that he would bust a person, you know, and in fact he busted me in public in a very harsh way. And
what did you do?
People,
why did he do that?
He called me out in front of 400 people that were all leaders of the organization. And the reality is that when you sign on to be a disciple of a guru from India, there's a kind of a contract where as Maharishi used to always describe, he was the carpenter and his disciples were pieces of wood. So when you're carving up a piece of wood, if you're the piece of wood, it's not always fun, because what he's doing is he's actually bringing out your greatest potential. He's changing you in really positive ways, but that change process isn't always pleasant. My experience was that I came there very shy, very stilted, very uptight, and I graduated from that process many years later very confident, a person who had gained a lot of skills and had developed my personal potential tremendously. So, no, it's not fun when it's going on. And this is traditional in India. Maharishi is not unique in this process. He's not the only guru who changes his disciples and takes them out of the little envelope they're living in, their little ego box.
But the
definition...
Oh, go ahead.
If I could just say this. The definition of spiritual enlightenment is, quote-unquote, egolessness.
Yeah, but
so
he had an ego.
Process,
he wasn't egoless.
I would actually disagree with you on that. But he was a spiritual master, in my opinion. But the process of transformation into egolessness is not a comfortable one.
Yeah, but being egoless, you are not controlling. And he was controlling. So how do you put those two together?
Yeah, there were a lot of paradoxes in his personality. He did have a personality as well as being a spiritually enlightened person. He was a human being. He was not a god. And he was not to be worshipped as one.
Hmm. Now, you also say that you were shy when you met him and you found him the type of person that brought you out, so to speak. But don't most cults go for the people that are very shy and, you know, they don't speak out? He can mold you.
Yes. If a person is going to live with a spiritual master, they had better realize that they're going to change, that the master is going to change them. If a person joins a cult, you know, I don't know. I mean, yes, in some ways, the TM organization was like a cult. And if you're going to be in a cult, you had better be in a cult that's going to cultivate your best qualities, that's going to bring you to higher consciousness, that's going to teach you how to meditate, that's going to help you to express your true potential. And yes, it did help me. I had nothing but good experiences being in that organization. However, I did break away from it in the 1980s, at the end of the 1980s. I did break away.
Why?
And I broke away because actually I found a meditation method that I preferred.
Oh.
And so I started teaching that, and I actually wrote 14 books since then. So for me, I had nothing but great experiences with transcendental meditation.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoyed this other method, which is what I teach now. It's called Divine Revelation, and I've written so many books. So that's the reason I left. But also I left because they were so controlling, the organization, that they wouldn't allow the TM teachers, the people who had learned to be TM teachers, they would not allow them to teach anything else.
Got it. Now, you
it's
said
very
that,
strict.
You said that he also slept with some of his followers?
Maharishi did have sex with some people. As I said before, he was a human being. He was a man, and he was a human being.
Yeah, but if he was holding himself to a higher level, he shouldn't have been quite that humanistic.
Well, people could argue that if they're... Yeah, but okay, so when John Lennon returned from India, very disillusioned, he said to Paul McCartney, "Hey, he was sleeping with these women. We can't go following that. He's just an old lech." And this was what Paul McCartney said to John Lennon as his reply. He said, "Who cares? He's a human being." He never said that he was a god. He said he was a meditation teacher.
Did you ever sleep with him?
No, he never made a pass at me, thank God. If he had made a pass at me, I would have run away so fast, so far, and so final.
I can imagine. You also said that his organization was dysfunctional. In what other ways? I think sleeping with your followers is one of them, but what else?
Well, just as I described, it was very, very strict. For example, I'll just give you one example. Maharishi International University, which is in Fairfield, Iowa. I lived there off and on for 10 years. And in the library, they banned all the books that were New Age books.
Really?
All the books that were books written by spiritual masters other than Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
Wow.
So, for example, they banned books by Yogananda, by Vivekananda, by Muktananda, and all the different Anandas, all the different saints. They banned their books. And I just, that was sort of the last straw for me.
Gotcha. Now, he was Buddhist?
No, Hindu.
Hindu, okay.
He was from India. He was a Hindu, yeah.
So did he say you couldn't have any other religions either?
Okay, Maharishi actually taught transcendental meditation not as a religion.
Okay.
It was a spiritual practice. It was meditation practice. And he claimed that it was a scientific practice, that it was not religious. So he wasn't teaching the Hindu religion, per se.
Mm. So what did you take? I mean, 22, why did you stay that long?
Because of the great experiences I had. I was really gung-ho on transcendental meditation. I had fantastic experiences from the beginning. It changed my life. It saved my life. I had a mental breakdown through taking LSD. I was not in a good shape. And it really changed me. And also, for the first time in my life, I felt something I'd never felt before. I felt happy.
Oh, and you belong to something, maybe? Is that also a possibility? You belong?
Well, that may be. Yeah, not so much. It was just the actual meditation experience itself.
Gotcha.
That really changed me, and that I was so... I became a TM walking advertisement.
Oh, okay.
My friends would say, "Oh, yeah, just shut up. We've heard enough about this already."
Now, the word Maharishi means seer. Of what and was he?
Okay, Maha means great, and Rishi means a seer. That's right. So it means great seer. So it just means somebody who is spiritually connected, more awake. I don't know. That title was actually given to him by some of his disciples. It was not an official title that was given to him by any official organization.
What was he, or what did he do before he became the Maharishi?
Okay, so before that, he was young, you know. He went to university in Allahabad, India. He studied physics. And then as soon as he graduated, immediately after graduation, he went to become a disciple of his guru. And his guru's name was Brahmananda Saraswati. And he was one of the four main religious leaders of India at that time. There are four main leaders who propagate and hold the religion of India, the Hindu religion of India. They have four monasteries, and one of them is in the north, and that was the monastery where Maharishi went to live with his guru. So he lived with his guru until 1953, and then when his guru passed on, Maharishi went into silence for about a year and meditated in the Himalayas, and then he came out and began to teach meditation in the south of India, and people responded very favorably, and then he founded what was called the Spiritual Regeneration Movement, and then he started doing world tours. His first tour where he went to the United States was 1959. And in 1959, there was no such thing as mantra, meditation, yoga. These terms did not exist in America.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably you're not old enough to remember that, but I remember that.
Yeah.
Within 10 years, Maharishi made these into household words.
I guess what probably bothers me more than anything is I cannot be following someone totally blindly. Unless I can ask questions. Were you always able to ask questions of him or question what he was doing?
Yeah, absolutely. People ask questions all the time. Those people who... I was very young and very shy, so I didn't ask so many questions, but there were people around me who asked a lot of questions and challenged him all the time, yeah. There
okay.
were people who did that, and certainly he welcomed any questions. And he patiently answered all questions, even people from the press who asked a lot of questions.
Well, and, you know, that's our job, is to ask those
Absolutely.
Questions. So, but I, you know, having someone just take total control of your life, basically, did he do that? I mean, you listened and did everything he wanted you to do, correct?
Yeah. Now, this is very interesting. I'm so glad you asked that question. Because people who learned transcendental meditation, it was just a technique that they did twice a day at home. They never met Maharishi. They didn't sign up for the master-disciple relationship. It was nothing like that. They were just doing their meditations at home. They were using their mantra, and they were meditating quietly. I was different. I actually signed on to be his disciple. And it's traditional in India, it's traditional for disciples to surrender to gurus and for gurus to bring disciples to higher consciousness. So I went and asked him if I could be on his personal staff. I joined his personal staff, and so I spent, you know, all this time being very, very close to him.
Now,
I was in his ashrams for 22 years, and I was on his personal staff for 6 of those years.
Now, were you brought to a higher consciousness?
Yes, I was brought to a higher consciousness. I can't define what that means exactly, but I definitely grew spiritually, and I became more of who I really am, became more of my true self when I was with him. After I left him, I became even more of my true self by practicing the other methods that I've been doing since then.
Good for you. Now, the book itself, Maharishi and Me, available where?
It's available everywhere. Bookstores and all the online sellers like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, and so on.
Now, do you have a website?
The website for the book is MaharishiandMe.com.
Uh-huh.
And my general website is drsusan.org, drsusan.org. And also I have another site, Divine Travels, that's plural on the travels, divinetravels.com.
Well, Susan, I thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. I'm sure we'll be back again because we've talked before, and we always have a great time.
I really enjoyed the interview so much.
Well,
thank you.
Oh, like I said, I'm always curious about everything in life. That's my mission is to bring to people as much as possible in every area of life. And I want to thank you again for taking the time with us, and come back again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Again, that's Dr. Susan Shumsky. Name of the book, Maharishi and Me. Take charge of your own life. And I want to thank you so much for being with us on the Pop Off Radio Show. I love to present you all kinds of things to think about. Get your whole self motivated. In the meantime, live simply, laugh often. Love deeply and above all else you dare to dream. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. We'll talk with you next week, right here on Pop Off.